Welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and of course on our podcast. I'm Ady Packham, and we are in your ears as ever in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well then, as the year draws to a close, it's time for our 2025 review, where we'll look back on the highs and the lows of the last 12 months and try to make sense of it all. And joining me as we do so is, of course, Alan Wares. And we are joined by the one, the only, Andy Bass. Hello, Andy.
Hello. Nice to be
here. We're going to be talking about 2025, but we're going to be talking about other things as well.
Good. I hope so.
Well, I believe you were glad.
And for season's greetings to you both, since we're still
Literally, season's greeting, it's annual greetings. In this
festive felicitations.
It's the festive season, so
it is the festive. Yeah. It is the season to be jolly. Okay, but well, before we get on with casting a weary eye over the last 12 months, we have got two games which we haven't talked about since we last spoke, which is the Arsenal game last weekend and the Sunderland one the week before. Sunderland, nothing really happened, so that's that one done. Right. Arsenal.
Well, let me cut across you there, but I mean, just before we start recording, Andy, you had a couple of observations.
Yeah, I think actually when you say nothing happened in the Sunderland game, you're being slightly unfair. The first half was dreadful. I think we're all universally agreed on that was not a good advert for the Premier League. If any neutrals were watching, they'd have been thinking, what the hell is this?
It's Christmas.
Yeah, but the second half, we did get on the front foot. I mean, I don't know. The first half performance was just like bizarre and not very good at all. But the second half, we did get on the front foot. The substitutions were good. Mittimer made his first appearance for like eons, and he looked really good. And we created enough chances to win that game, and unfortunately, Yassin Arari's shooting boots were left back in the dressing room.
I don't know what boots
he was wearing on the pitch, but they were not the shooting ones. But yeah, we should have won that game.
They were banana boots.
Would you have blamed him and him alone? I mean, you've picked out one person here, but would you blame him and him alone?
No, I wouldn't blame him exclusively for the overall performance. That would be obviously unfair, but he did find himself in the possession of the best chance, best opportunities to score a goal. And basically, all he needed to do was keep his foot over the ball, and he probably would score one of them.
We only needed one.
And we only needed one. I thought we defended pretty well in that game, but
But the other thing that wasn't noteworthy about the Sunderland game, Andy, is the fact that obviously we had Lewis Dunk was suspended, and Jan Holwell Hecker was ill, so we had a new centre half pairing of Coppola and Boscali. What did you make of that?
I thought it looked very promising indeed. I thought they both played pretty well. And obviously circumstances forced it, but we are kind of getting a glimpse into the future here. A, because Van Hecker is likely to move on, and B, Dunk is likely to end up retiring at some point, probably not next season, but maybe the season after. And I thought they both looked really good, very encouraged by how they both played. So again, even though it wasn't the greatest of games, there were things that you could take out of that game in a as a positive.
No, I can't remember what it was, but sort of, there was something I read just before Christmas, and Christmas now seems yonks ago. Is that, and I can't remember if it was Coppola or Boscagli who's been reported by Brian Owen as saying he's not happy with the amount of appearances he's been getting, and more to the point, Herzl can understand that. Now, I certainly think that Van Hecker and Dunk have actually justified their starting berths, and they have the shirt. And we also get to realise that just for once, we've got some decent strength in depth, and they're not getting a look in. I mean, it's highly probable they might well do against Manchester United in the cup. But so when you're saying Van Hecke may well move on, and Dunk, I think he's got at least another season and a half
I
left in him.
agree. I think he's got one more season.
Certainly after this one. And like I say, as for, I mean, we've said this on this show many times, for as much as he was not exactly written off, but you know, massive question marks were over him at last season, you know, beginning of 2025.
The
He's
cause of his
come back with.
demise are was premature.
Well, absolutely. I never felt that. I always felt, as it's a phrase you say, AD, about form and class or whatever it is. One's temporary, one's, you know, gone on holiday. Dunk was never going to be that bad again, and he's proved not to be. So yeah, it's a mystery, but that's what Hertzler gets paid for. And yeah, there will be people who say, well, hang on, we signed these two centre halves, why aren't they getting a game? Well, you've just seen why. And it's nice to know that we can have any one of those combinations playing for us. But I suppose it's a bit like having a brilliant second goalkeeper. You can only play one at a time, or in this case, two at a time. The only time you can really cater their berth is if we play a back three or a back five. And Hertzler, you know, entirely down to him, doesn't do that.
Well, it's funny
So,
that he did exactly that
well, yes,
on
but
Saturday. So
as
there
a
you go.
general rule, he doesn't.
So
But
I mean Brian Owen actually asked him in the press conference on Thursday before the game, the Arsenal game. About playing a back three, and he said it's not in his mind. And then he did it immediately on the Saturday. So it's all Brian's fault
do you think
for
he's
that.
actually going to tell Arsenal there, or Sunderland, or anyone their game plan ahead of time?
There's a game plan? Wow.
Oh, stop it.
That's incredible.
Stop it.
But yeah, no, I mean, Boscali did get a second start in succession, Andy. You were very impressed with him again, weren't you?
Yeah, I think he looks all right. He looks very good. He looks good. I just think the centre of defence is in good hands. I do. It does sound like they need to manage the expectations of the players behind, because obviously, I agree with Al. I think Van Hecke and Dunk are the first choice in that position. I think whilst we may have thought Dunk was slipping, I think he has come back. I think he has earned his right to keep that shirt, but we know that that is not, you know, going forward, that is not going to be the situation,
It's not going
you
to be
know,
forever.
not forever, exactly. And I just think we have now got the replacements in place, and they just need to be reassured of that. And
Well, this
every
is it. I
time that
mean,
they have played in those positions, I think they have reassured me that once Van Hecker and Dunk are no longer playing for us, we're in good hands.
well, this is
Yeah.
it. I
Good
mean,
feet.
it means that they've got to be patient. Because if we're saying,
Yeah.
let's suppose, for the sake of argument, Van Hecke goes at the end of his contract and Dunk retires, and I think it's unfair to say that he will. I personally think he could go on as long as Bruno did. But we are talking about a time where the pathway to automatic first choice is not clearly open at the moment. But having said that, like, if we rewind to the middle of 2025, where we signed these players,
We had no one.
It would have been considered absolute madness, given Dunk's form at the time. Even though we were confident of him returning to some kind of decent form, given the form at the time, it would have been madness not to have signed a player,
Yeah.
you know, or a couple of players. So.
You appear to be forgetting about the fact that actually, towards the end of last season, the player that was actually in form, and that was above Dunk and Van Hecke as well, was actually Adam Webster.
Absolutely,
Yeah,
but my point is that
and he
do you
got
need?
injured.
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, and he got injured. So, like, we needed depth in that position, and we've actually signed two guys. Quite rarely for us, we've actually signed two guys that can actually play right now.
Absolutely.
Whereas normally we're in the futures market
Yeah.
for players,
Well,
but we've
I mean.
actually the two other Reading players we have signed can't get in because of the other guys have been too good.
The
No,
irony is,
but
I can understand a couple of his
we need
concern though,
them.
because you know
Of
he's got
course, this
himself
is the
into
point
the
we're
England.
making. This is the point we're making. He
Yeah.
is, he's. I mean, I think I can never remember. I always get confused. I mean, it's like they're a gestalt entity. I think is it Boscagli? One of them's 28, and in theory, in the prime of his career. So
Yeah.
you know, he's either whoever, whichever one it is, is going to be
Yeah.
frustrated right now
But you know,
because.
it's a World Cup year though, and like Coppola's already got himself into the Italy setup, and you know he wants to be playing regularly. Mind you, that said, Italy haven't actually qualified for the World
Well,
Cup
where
yet,
is
so that
that
could
as
be only a
well?
point. But so you know, but the Scots have. There you go. Good news.
No, who
But
knew? And
okay. Well, I mean,
all our Scots have gone to Italy.
But I mean, the Arsenal game itself, the headline news here, Andy, and you know, there's been a lot of doom and gloom about it post-match, but the reality of the situation is, and the perspective on the situation is, we went to the team that's top of the league, and the team that's top of the league won. That's not a massive surprise.
Not really. I thought Hertzler's assessment of the game was pretty accurate. I don't think we were brave enough in the first half, and he didn't think we were brave enough in the first half.
I don't think we were anything enough in the first half. I'm not
Well,
even sure
no,
we played.
to be honest, I thought we defended very well in the first half. I will disagree that there was nothing to cling on to in the first half. It was just like their opening goal came from a pretty reckless pass by, well, not reckless, but it was a poor pass by Verbruggen, and I don't think De Kuyper or Dunk did enough to close down the shot. But that said, it was a really good shot by Odegaard, so maybe he was the only person that was going to score it from
I
there.
just think the
But
whole defence is caught napping there. I mean, obviously.
it yeah, but it, yeah, but they were caught napping by a bad outball
I'm
that
as much as.
was won easily. And the thing is that, like, in regular play, we defended very well. I mean, Arsenal had a few chances, but we were able to position ourselves in a way that we just got in the way of the ball. And basically, that's what defending ultimately, end of the day, is just getting in the way of the ball. And we actually did that very well. And actually, I thought the setup for that defense with De Kuyper and Ferdy being like either like they're either like in possession, we're going to go forward, out of possession, they're going to go back. So we're going to make it a five in the midfield, or we're going to make it five at the back. I actually thought that worked pretty well. But we made an error, and they were good enough. They had the quality to pounce on it and take advantage and score the goal. And that was pretty blooming annoying, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, as much as you're pointing the finger at Verbruggen, and yes, he's got to take some of the blame for it. I'd also look at the recipient of that pass. Now,
I
that's a
very much am looking at the recipient
no,
of
I know,
that
but
pass.
well, it's six and two threes really, because we've seen that pass be done by the team many, many times before, and I can't help getting the feeling that a lot of teams have now realised what's going on. But the recipient, Gruder, was really not. He won. He wasn't at the. Well, he was probably at the races. He wasn't at the football. And secondly, he was. He's very weak in the challenge. He's not. He is a dropsy. He is a gravity whore. He's not that strong in the challenge, and he was beaten to it too easily. And there was a couple of times, I think, at Old Trafford earlier this season, where again that pass was picked out by players, was picked off by the opposition players because ours were asleep at the wheel. So yes, Verbruggen must take his share of responsibility for not realizing that Gruder wasn't ready. But the point is, Gruder should have been ready for that pass because it's almost our stock in trade. We do it when it works; it's brilliant. But it has to go to the right person in order for it to work. Welbeck knows how to play that particular one. Mitoma can play it, but there's two, and I'm going to point fingers here, two at the moment who are not good recipients of that pass. One is Gruder, we just mentioned. The other one is Ruta, who again, just I don't know what he's trying to do these days. I don't have a problem with his enthusiasm, with his tenacity, even when it comes off his skill. But there are, you know, there's a time for discretion, there's a time for candor. And in this instance, you know, in a lot of instances, he'll go down his blind alley. And no one knows, has a clue what he's doing. And that makes him not a particularly great team player in that sense. I mean, you know, yes, he scored the own goal. I think that was just unlucky. It was just one of those things. He was giving it a go. It happens. But.
I've got theories about this, but yeah, I'm
Well,
not.
what's your theory? And I hope it's not too
Well,
nasty because I
we'll
genuinely
come to
think it
that bit
was
in a minute,
unlucky.
Andy.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I would say I wouldn't actually fault Gruder for losing possession of that ball. The defending Arsenal player, the attacking Arsenal player had a much better view of it. And he was able to attack the ball better than Gruder. I think the decision to play it to Gruder itself was a mistake, even though it's something that we try and do. And I agree with you. I don't think Gruder is the best recipient of that ball, which is why I think it was a bad decision to play it to him rather than somebody else. But given that he did play it to him, that the Arsenal guy, I can't remember who it was, but he had a full view of that, and he had a better
Lever, I
view of
think
it
it was.
than he had a better view of it than Gruder did, because he was able to plan his attack way before the ball even got to Gruder. And it was like, so whilst there are other reasons to criticize Gruder's performance on that particular instance, I'm not actually giving him that much blame for the goal. I don't think the ball should have been played in his direction in the first place, and that I think is the key error.
I don't disagree totally, but my point would be is if he's not in a position to receive a ball, what's he doing on the pitch?
But you say that, Al, but like, not everybody is in a good position to receive a ball on the pitch. You pick the one that is freer and less likely to be molested by an opponent,
Well, question is, did Bart have more time to think about it,
But
or
also, I do think that we could have done better to close it down.
that I will agree with
And
the.
I think, I mean, I was looking at Dunk, but having watched it, I think Dunk and De Kuyper both had opportunities to close that window for Odegaard. You have to give credit to Odegaard. He threaded it. He threaded that. He threaded
Yeah,
the eye of
but
that needle in.
Odegaard was just in so much space. He had time. He had time to like have his Christmas dinner
So
twice before anyone got anywhere near him.
it was a quality finish, but yes, I think our defenders could have done a better job of making his life a little bit more difficult. But at the end of the day, but you can say that about any goal. We can the goals that we scored, I mean, certainly the goal that we scored in this game,
And we've got
you
to
could
get like.
dissect it in a similar way. But it was, in the end, it was a very good finish. It was like we made an error and we got punished for it. The rest of the game, in normal play, we kind of coped quite well.
And I mean, you've mentioned this before, Andy, but I mean, you've got to give credit to the fence and to Bart actually for keeping it down to one in that first half
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Arsenal were good. Unfortunately, De Kuyper was not given any support at all whatsoever. He was isolated,
Yeah.
and Saka was had him on toast pretty much all half, which is why he got the hook at half time probably.
There does come a point where having better players should actually count, and Arsenal did make it count in the end.
But I mean, Fabian did react. He did make changes at half time. We saw Mats Fifa and Minte come on. I still don't know why Minte wasn't starting, bearing in mind Arsenal had two makeshift fullbacks on the pitch, which is,
Good question. Maybe he was just knackered.
maybe, but
Like a lot of our good players, the
you
good
give yourself
ones
a
do
chance
get
and actually.
overworked.
You give yourself a chance, and actually, one person we have got that is very good at receiving the ball is Jakuba Minte. But it was, but those were the changes. But then Arsenal immediately, pretty much within the first minute of the second half, they got another. Now, my
Well, let's be
theory,
fair, it was
what
eight minutes into the second half, but carry
it
on.
seemed a lot quicker.
It did seem a lot quicker.
But
Yeah.
my issue here is. Now, I've had issues with zonal marking at corners for ages. I just don't like it, and I don't like. And it would help if we were actually good at it. We're not good at it. Case in point, the goal that Liverpool scored, their second goal, this goal. Arsenal, majority of their goals come from set pieces and corners. They are really good at putting it into those danger areas, and they would have seen videos of this all week. So,
Yeah, but an Arsenal player didn't touch it, did they? No.
no, and the thing is, like, the best Arsenal corners are the ones at the back post, not the ones at the near post. And I really don't like to be negative about one of our players, but Jorginho is not playing well at the moment, and I can see he's working his ass off, but things are not happening for him on the pitch. And I do wonder whether it,
Well, we're going to come
Fabian's
on to
got to
that.
pull the plug and put someone else on instead of him and give him, because there was like a resigned quality, and it was really sad. And I hate to see it because you could see the look on his face when the ball went in. And I, there's no way he should have been heading that into the goal from that
No.
position. But
No,
he's
it was.
symptomatic of the way that his form is at the moment.
Oh, when your luck's out, when your form's out, that sort of thing
Yeah,
happens.
it's
I mean,
just,
if you're on
he's
form, if it was a player
he's
on
in a
form, that
rut.
header goes sailing over the bar for another corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want happy Georgie back. We want not the one that's doing
His body
an
language
impression of
didn't
one of
look.
his horses as he's walking away.
Yeah, his body language didn't look great, and yeah, I mean.
Yeah. And I feel for the guy. I'm not, I personally think Fabian should give him a rest and give somebody else a chance. But that doesn't mean I'm going to rag on the guy and like slag him
No,
off
no,
or
no.
whatever.
No. Well,
But I think even, but you know what? I bet even he thinks that he needs a break.
you can
Let's
go
put
deeper
it.
than that because we're going to sing his praises later.
No. But
So.
the other thing about that is look how many players we have coming off the bench and doing something good for the team.
Yeah.
I mean, in that sense, yeah, put him, stick him on the bench for to start with, bring him on for the last 20 minutes and watch the fireworks.
Yeah,
But,
exactly.
it's
Maybe
and
that
that.
would be a better situation for him. I mean, the whole thing about the Arsenal game was like we were going to play like the team that's, notionally,
Champion. Well, we're not quite champions
that
elect,
it should
but
be top of the league. And we were doing it without a centre forward, without a focal point. Jorginho is a good football player.
he's
He's
not a
not
nine.
a centre forward. He can't do it. It's like, and I don't think it's fair of us to expect him to be a good centre
Yeah.
forward.
His best work's always playing off Danny, isn't it, really?
Exactly. So, you can't criticise him from that perspective. But the thing is that he is just not contributing to the team in a positive manner at the moment. And I would say, like, even though Babis is also not a direct forward substitute for Welbeck, I think he does offer more strength. I think he offers more mobility, and I think
And he's still an unknown
he
quantity as
has
well.
more he has more sort of aggressiveness about his play, positivity about his play. And the worst thing that you could do if you play Babis instead of Rutter is like that he's just as rubbish as Rutter is. Well, you're not really losing out. I suspect he would be better.
I suspect so too. But okay, well, I mean, we did rally in this game. I mean, we were absolutely awful in the first half, so I mean, it couldn't get much worse. But we were much better, and we did have that spell where we equalised, and it was a wonderful move for that goal. I mean, Ayari still had his banana boots on when he hit the
He's
post.
getting closer. He's getting
Yeah, he hit the
closer.
post this time, but
Maybe
Diego was there.
tomorrow he'll score.
I mean, Diego is a funny one. I'm hearing a lot of dissent about him, but I really like him.
He's busy. He's
That is
busy
a good way of describing him.
he's busy and he's always there. I just don't think the thing is we've been spoiled by the previous inhabitants of those defense sort of kind of like disruptive midfield players. We've had like, obviously Carlos, Pete Carlos last year, Moises, Caicedo as well. And
Alexis.
like, Alexis, like, and as much as I like Diego Gomez, he's not any of those guys.
No, he's not.
He's not any of them. He's not as good.
But
He's
once
a
again,
gamble.
along the same lines as Rutter, I will not. In fact, I won't criticise any one of those players in the team for
Yeah.
any lack of enthusiasm or lack of effort. If we're not doing well, it's because those players are either, let's say, off form and therefore not playing as well as they could, or not good enough. And like you say, I think your point is that any player can have an absolutely blinding game, and you could be on Lionel Messi could be on the pitch and you could still outplay him. Looking at Ewan McAllister in the World Cup, where Messi got man of the match, and he said, "Well, I don't think so. I'll give it to Alexis, I think." But you know, and you can have that, and the best players are those that play really well every game, or much more consistently. And then the point about Gomez is there are times when he is really good. He links up well. He's confident, and I'm thinking, say, for instance, he had a really good game against Forest a few weeks ago. But we just don't see enough of that. So we know that there is something there, and we know that, you know, unless, but then, you know, look at then the Liverpool game a couple of weeks ago, misses a sitter, you know, and that's, and I think in that
I
sense,
believe
that's,
it was more than one,
well, but
actually,
that's our
and a possible
season.
red card in it to boot. So,
Yeah, that's our season, or maybe even our calendar year in a nutshell, you know.
but I mean, it
Yeah, I
was.
mean,
I mean, the thing is with Diego, he's energetic. He's box to box. He is everywhere. But because he's everywhere, quite often he's out of position.
yes,
Is
yeah,
that as well, yeah.
I can, yeah, I completely agree. I really like him, but you kind of need that rock in midfield that enables him to do that. And I think we've got some very good midfield players that are really good playing around like the Rock, but at the moment, the Rock
Yeah.
is not in the house.
Okay.
And that's where we suffer in
Calling
midfield. But
Dwayne Johnson.
whilst we're talking about Diego, I
Pitch
mean,
out.
what word would you like to use to describe his finish?
Well, you know,
Accurate.
aplomb is got to be there.
No, I'm going with larruped. He larruped it
He
home.
did swing a
Well,
bit, didn't
my
he?
second choice would have been wedded it in. So, but he made sure that was going in, and it was a really good finish. It was a really good finish. He was in the right place.
And the
And
interesting thing, oh, sorry, I'm going to cut across you here. The really interesting thing about that goal, yes, it was brilliant. He was there. He was following up. It was the reaction of the Arsenal players when he scored. They went disco mental amongst themselves, which says something. I'm not sure what, but it says something.
the cat was amongst the pigeons for a bit, and we very nearly equalised, and it was sweet finish and an even better save.
Unbelievable save
That
from
was a very good
Raya.
save.
Absolutely, we were right behind it. I mean, it was like right in line with where we were standing. It was a great finish by Minter. He absolutely, the connection was superb. The sweet connection, the curl on the ball, and it was just a really very, very good save. And what can you say? You know, hats off to David Raya for making that save.
Yeah.
It was world class. And I had to say, like the first comment I got from my Arsenal mates after the game was, "Well, that was nerve-wracking." And I said,
You
"Well, was
especially.
it really? I don't really, you know, I mean, you kind of like saw the game out the last 10 minutes with loads of outhousery, I think we can say on this particular program."
Well,
But
actually, again, I'm going to cut across you there. Arsenal have a habit of that, and I'll tell you why. Do you remember last season when Declan Rice got sent off? And it seems a long time ago now, but and we equalised, and then Arsenal went and parked the bus. And I'm thinking, hang on, this is Arsenal.
they were bricking it.
Yeah.
And we look and we yeah and like you know after 70 minutes of not great attacking attempt from us because we didn't really have any attackers on the pitch, suddenly for like 15 20 minutes we looked like we were going to score, and it was good. Again, like the positives I'm going to take out of this game are like, this team has got character. They don't give up. Even if they're not playing well, they're going to play to the 95th minute, you know, whatever happens. And I'm always confident that we are going to be giving it our best until
Yeah,
the end.
the problem is, Andy, they have to start in the first minute.
Yeah, well, this is obviously the big issue. And like, you know, actually listening to Ferdy's comments on the Albion website afterwards, he said exactly the same thing. I think the players know it. I think, you know, Hertzler's comments at the end of the game just said, like, you know, the first half wasn't good enough. We didn't believe in ourselves. And you know, I absolutely agree with what Hertzler said
He
about
was
that,
very flat after the game.
because It looked like we were scared. I mean, like he set the team up to have like, five at the back or five in the middle, yada yada. But I think he wanted a bit more from them than what we got going
Yeah.
forward in the first half, which I think increased his exasperation with how we did actually play. And so we got the changes at half time. They made a difference, and we were much more on the front foot, and we did that. But yeah, it's like we're just not there yet as a team this season. We're just not there yet
Okay.
as a
I
team.
think
Well,
that we'll come to that in a
sorry,
minute.
one last thing, and just to finish off again with that, is that what Hertzler demands of his team, i.e. the high press, high intensity is the phrase that's used, it
Yeah.
can't be done over 90 minutes. Now, that's not to say that they set up in the first 45 minutes and they say, well, I hope we can keep Arsenal to one. It doesn't work that way, of course not. But I think the only time when we've really sort of largely battered a team for 90 minutes was probably Leeds at home. I mean, thankfully Leeds were poor, but we made them look poor, I think. And actually, probably for 70 minutes, we made Forest look poor. But to do it for 90 minutes against the likes of Arsenal, whatever it might be, and don't forget, even though we played them in the League Cup, and yes, they didn't, they had a few changes, we had a few changes, but don't forget, in the first half of that game, we battered them and
Yeah.
couldn't finish it.
No.
If we'd gone, we could have easily gone two or three up at half time.
Yeah, Tsimikas finishing that game was terrible, but
Again, but therein lies, I mean, that save that you were talking about earlier,
right.
those are
Yeah.
the fine margins between being a champion and being a mid-table team.
Absolutely.
That's not to say that we'd have automatically drawn the game, but dear God, we'd have given
Oh
up.
no,
We
the
wouldn't have had to chase the game so much.
Arsenal would have rallied, but it would
Yeah,
have
you
made it a
say
very
that.
different game.
You say that, but we've done it before when we've
A
equalised
point,
against them, and they've bricked it.
yeah, I
A
agree with
point
Al. that they wouldn't, because basically they resorted to a lot of gamesmanship towards the end of the game,
My
going
point
for the corner
exactly.
flag. They wouldn't have done that if they were chasing the game, because it's like a point wasn't enough for them in that game. City had already gone top earlier in the day. They wanted that top spot back, and and the angst in the crowd would have, they were really beginning to feel it, because the Emirates crowd was really starting to turn on.
I mean,
To be fair, they do.
I was quite happy that, given how poorly, given how ineffectual, I wouldn't say poor, I don't think we played poorly in the first half. I think we were ineffectual going forward. But actually,
Yeah, we
I think
didn't
the
have it.
primary job of, like, keeping it close in the first half, I think we actually achieved that goal
Yeah,
relatively
I
well.
mean, we didn't even
But
have, we didn't have a shot at all.
no,
On
no,
target
no,
or off
no,
target
no, we didn't.
until
But
the
we, but.
64th minute.
But apart from gifting them a goal, we didn't actually really
Yeah.
look like we were going to concede a goal.
Okay.
And we, yeah, but we made them sweat at the end.
We did indeed.
And, I'll take that.
Talking of sweating, you're listening to the Albion Roar here
That's
on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. We are delighted to be brought to you in association with Flowers Unlimited, aren't we, Alan?
We are. Now Christmas is done, then there's different things that you can buy now. We're recording this on the 29th of December, so there's New Year's to have. So hopefully, if you have listened to this before the calendar turns around into the new year, there are still things that you can buy from Flowers Unlimited. Alternatively, just head to 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. I say that so many times, I still re recall when we had the Americans on our show that they could recite that address backwards.
And better than
Which
you.
is probably, yes, I'm not doing this from a script at all.
We should probably use it as a
Yes,
drop in.
I probably could actually. No, but I do like to sort of thank Dave Costa for sponsoring the show. It does help us. He helps keep Reverb on the air. Radio Reverb is a community radio station which does not accept advertising, so it can only accept grants, donations, and sponsorships. So if you feel like chucking in a few quid to Radio Reverb, go to the Radio Reverb website. There is a make a donation button. Appreciate it's Christmas, and obviously you've still got your credit card bills to come in. But if there's a couple of shekels left over, then please toss them our way. And Dave Costa has done exactly that, and we do appreciate his support and sponsorship. So do head to Flowers Unlimited, 175
Thanks.
to 177 Portland Road, Hove.
I'm Dean Gallagher. or Brighton Hove and District Samaritans. Many of us go to football without a care in the world, as an escape from our everyday lives. However, many of us carry our burdens with us into the game and beyond. If you feel you need to speak with someone, call a friend. Or if you see a friend in trouble, please do reach out. Being truly listened to can make such a difference. You can call the Samaritans on 116 123 or see us on a home match day. Let's kick off the conversation.
So as promised at the top of the show, here is our review of 2025. So let's rewind to January, shall we? And the year got started with a 1-1 draw at home to Arsenal before a trip to Norwich in the FA Cup, which saw the Canaries hit for four, including a goal for Solly March. Another win out east followed with us beating Ipswich 2-0 before the comprehensive 3-1 win at Old Trafford. The month and the good run finished with a 1-0 home defeat to Everton. So, I mean, there are some good bits to pick out of that. Obviously, the draw, Arsenal were fighting top of the table again. It was a good point at home to them. Obviously, Solly's goal was a highlight of the year, I think.
Slightly moody, but fine.
It does literally seem like years ago since that happened. And the first goal of the year was scored by who, Andy Bass?
I will just look...
João
Pedro got a penalty.
He got a penalty. And other new, and obviously the winning at Old Trafford, which that run came to an end this year, didn't it? But it was, it was another good win up there. And they didn't, 3-1, they didn't stand a chance. January also saw the arrival of Stefano Simas from Pauk. Aaron Cashin came in from Derby. Diego Gomez arrived from Inter Miami. And then Simas went back off out on loan. Right, anything you want to pick out from January, guys?
Yeah,
I really liked the win against Norwich in the FA Cup. That was a fun day out.
That was in the days when Rutter knew how to score.
We weren't sure how it was going to go, and it was we had a few good cup games, and that was just great atmosphere, just a really good day out, and that was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, Georgie scored in that win at Ipswich as well. So
All I would say is that the Everton, taking the negative point, that Everton game was probably one of those hugely enormous anti-football games that they played.
What, a team at the bottom of the table coming to the Amex and winning? What are you talking about? It's exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, no, that was a poor game.
Okay. Well, let's move on to February then. And February started off very badly with us losing 7-0 at Forest. But it got better as back-to-back victories over Chelsea, a demolition of Southampton and a rare home win over Bournemouth rounded off the month. Lots of highlights there, guys.
Yes. Can I just say Southampton, it should have been 10. That's my gripe.
It really should have been 10.
They're good at conceding. Well, the thing is, they're good at conceding 9 at home.
It was Minte's Devon locking it. It's just clean through and go, and his legs give way.
Southampton were a poor side and deserved to go down. I mean, they were just absolutely dreadful. And we won at a canter, if you excuse the horse racing reference again.
What was unique about João Pedro's goal at Southampton?
I've no idea, actually.
It wasn't a penalty.
It wasn't a penalty.
It was the last goal he scored from open play.
That is interesting.
For us.
Well, we could have had so many goals from open play in that game. that was a really fun game. And I love...
It's the pub. A shame that Southampton... You really love the pub.
It's a shame Southampton got relegated, because the way they reconfigured the away end, so you're now at the other end of the ground... and the bar area and the outside area is so much better than what it was before. Southampton's actually really good, not to mention the really good Belgian Blues pub.
It was
is great. So I really hope Southampton get promoted.
Just for that and that alone.
Yeah. In that case, we could have gone to the pre-season friendly.
And they always let us win. So.
Okay, and obviously we had those two victories over Chelsea in a week. That was fun, particularly. Obviously we saw Kouru Mitoma's goal of the season.
Goal of the decade.
Unbelievable. It's just We have missed him so much. And like, even when he was playing at the beginning of the season this year, you could tell he wasn't 100%. And this has been a big problem for the Albion this year, is like, you know, our best players from last year have been basically absent. Even like Belaba, who's been in the team, is not,
has been absent.
has been absent. But Mitoma's literally been absent. And I thought when he came on against, was it Sunderland or West Ham, he was just turning defenders inside and out. And I thought, we have missed that so much.
Yeah.
Particularly Minter on the other side, who's been worked into the ground because he now has to do all of the wide play for us. And like, there's a good chance that Minter's going to start against West Ham on Tuesday. So that will be really good.
And rounding off the month of February was that win. We actually won at home against Bournemouth. Incredible that we won at home against Bournemouth.
Could be bit of a streaky win, though.
It was, but it was a really good game of football.
I think that was one of the best games of football I've ever seen at the Amex. It was just like two teams that really wanted to win it. And I felt a bit sorry for the Bournemouth fans because there's a very good Bournemouth vlog on YouTube called Back of the Net, or, you know, Boscombe back of the Net or something like that. But, you know, but very fair-minded Bournemouth fans who like go to all of their games and they do their vlogs and stuff. And that was a terrific game. And I really enjoyed watching their report of it afterwards. And it was very fair-minded. And that, I just thought it was a really good game. It's a good game of football. Two good teams going for it. And we won. So, yay, us.
Well, on to March then. March got underway with Danny Welbeck's late winner at Newcastle, sending us through to the FA Cup quarterfinals. We actually beat Fulham before taking a point at the Etihad. Forest were our opponents in the FA Cup quarterfinals, but neither side could break the deadlock, and it was the Tricky Trees who went through on penalties, Al.
Sorry, remind me that first game again.
The first game was the FA Cup game at Newcastle.
That was a really good game of football as well.
Yeah.
Again, both teams going for it. Princess Di getting sent off quite hilariously, but then so did Tarik Lamptey, which was a shame. But we really held our own. I mean, we made a sluggish start, but then got back into it. We had chances. They probably might point to the fact they had more chances, but if you don't stick them away, then tough boo-boos. But then, you know, that Danny Welbeck comes up and does what he does best. Was it? It was Solly March that fed the ball through to him, wasn't it?
I believe it was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, two you know, Dad's Army characters feeding it through. We've got a good record. I think it's the case that we've played them in, certainly in the 21st century, every time we've played them in the FA Cup, we've beaten them. So we've got the hoodoo over them there. No, it was a good game of football, and it's one of those where you come away thinking, well, every one of those last players has left them a part of themselves out on the pitch. They really were, especially in extra time. I just thought we actually looked a lot fitter in extra time.
This is my big takeaway from that game, is watching the Brighton Unlocked video after that victory, where like we hear a lot about we hear a lot from Hertzler about intensity and, like, you know, really committing. And we, you know, the Brighton Up video goes to a joyous dressing room. Everybody's celebrating. They're really happy that they won. And then basically Hertzler said, "I told you this would happen if you did this."
Mm.
Because, like, you wanted it more than them. Newcastle were dead on their feet at the end of that game.
And that was astonishing.
And we kept going and going and going and going. And he just said, "I told you this is what happens when you do what I flipping tell you to do."
Whatever the German for that is.
It's good. So how can we, you know, can we do this a little bit more often? I still think there's an element of that now, because, you know, Hertzler comes in for some criticism from, you know, some fans. But essentially, I think really the players have got to do what he's asking them to do. He's asking them to do a lot, but when they do it, they do get the results. And that was a prime example of it. That was a fantastic game. And that was going to Newcastle and winning there is not easy. And we actually
Did the
fully
business.
earned that win. It was a really good win.
And also beating Fulham at home.
At
that last minute, João Pedro penalty, another penalty. Last minute wins are always fun. But,
well,
I mean,
I'm not being funny, mate. We were owed that.
We were owed that.
Yeah.
Definitely owed that one.
And the beer tasted a lot sweeter that evening, I seem to remember.
Beer definitely does after a win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, what else was that month?
So we had a 2-2 draw at the Etihad, which should have been 3 points, actually.
Oh, we got so close to doubling Man City. So close.
I love our games at Man City. I think they're always really good games of football. Obviously, we've yet to win one, but I've been to the
that
last.
Was our first
I've been
point.
To the last three games at the Etihad, and they've all been really good games of football. I think we've competed well in each of them. A couple of times we've been beaten by objectively is the better side, but actually that was frustrating because Belaba should have buried that chance at the end and we should have won that 3-2. And I'm still trying to figure out the logistics. Can I go to the game in a few weeks? Because we are going to win there one time and I want to be there.
Fair enough. I mean, and also, I mean, what a record, that what a feather in our cap that would have been to have doubled both Manchester United and Manchester City in the same season.
That was a terrific game of football. It was really good fun to watch. It was a terrific day out. Man City away, can't recommend it highly enough to anybody that wants to go.
I mean, the big disappointment of March, I suppose, probably the season, actually, was that FA Cup quarter final. At home against Forest,
it was a bit of a rubbish game, wasn't it?
Both teams cancelled each other out. I mean, there was chances. I mean, Diogo Gomez had a brilliant chance to win it at the end.
Yeah.
And probably, that would have seen us through to Wembley. And it might have been us celebrating in May rather than that other lot.
Well, let's not go. I can't do the what ifs on that. I just can't.
No, rather just move on.
Yeah. And move on, we shall. April then, and it was another month to forget as injuries mounted up. First, Villa came to the Amex and left with all 3 points. A 2-1 defeat at Selhurst was followed by another case of being 2-0 up in the 86th minute and blowing it at Leicester. Another horror show followed at Brentford before getting back to winning ways over West Ham. Terrible month.
it was grim. I was not at that's the game was poor. The Palace game was terrible. We played so badly in that.
Can we move on to May, please?
We're not going to move on to May because
doesn't it get
the
any
game
better
against West Ham? Great, Belaba's goal. We always were talking about in that game.
Let's stick with the positives. Yes.
Yeah. In fairness, like the West Ham game is the screensaver on my computer that I'm looking at now, because that was.
But two worldies from us in that game.
If you're going to get a last minute goal, have it be one of those. I mean, that was like exceptional.
Right, and this raises another point for me, actually, and it's along the lines of, going back to the Arsenal game that we're talking about at the beginning of the season. This is what can happen if you don't close the forward down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they left him just, no one came out to close him down. He picked his spot, and let's face it, normally that goes into the into Rose Ed, but it didn't, and the net got in the way, and it was, again, beer tasting good.
Yeah, that was tremendous. That was and we really needed it at that time. We needed it.
Yes.
The Brentford game was particularly dreadful because I think there was like definitely some attitude problems from some players that.
Was actually João Pedro's last game in a Brighton shirt.
Yeah,
him getting sent off before he had a scrap with Van Hecker, and then With
and let's face it, it was a reverse fixture earlier in the season that he should have been sent off for throwing his elbow, thankfully missing. But for some reason, VAR didn't go back to the referee and say, I mean, this is where we get VAR sort of almost making up its own rules. It's a video additional referee, not video assistant referee. Yeah. He should have gone in that game. And it was, you know, so I think he was just sort of like having a second go. And this time he connected.
Things pick up from here on in.
Good. Yeah.
Yes, and so on to the merry month of May, where we finish the season strongly. After April, which probably cost us our place in Europe last season, May was much stronger. And it started with a 1-1 home draw with Newcastle. And then we had three straight wins. Firstly, away at Wolves, at home to champions Liverpool, and finally the 4-1 win at the newly crowned Europa League champs Spurs.
Yeah, and they were good. They were good performances, you know. I think there's a lot to be said for finishing the season strong. We were in this, you know, ultimately we didn't qualify for Europe, but we were in the position to qualify for it. So it wasn't like these weren't empty victories. They were ones that had a purpose. I thought the win against Liverpool. I thought the game against Liverpool was excellent. I thought Liverpool. Okay, I think they already won the title by then, and so yeah, they weren't really on the pitch, but they were really going for it. They attacked us a lot in that game, and it was back and forth.
Went 1-0 up and then 2-1 up.
It was a very entertaining game of football. If you're a neutral watching that, I think you'd have enjoyed it greatly. I certainly walked away from that game thinking, you know what, that was just fun to watch. It was a fun game. I thought the game at Wolves was kind of textbook. It's a shame, you know, this year we ballsed it up at Wolves, but that is a happy hunting ground for us. But
yeah.
Last season we got the job done perfunctory, and then obviously beating Spurs away.
That was obviously result wise it was our best visit to Spurs anyway, but it was particularly great because they were having their Europa League celebration party afterwards, despite them losing 4-1 at home to us and only having 20% possession in the entire game. It made it easier to get home.
But the point is you can only ever play what's put in front of you. And let's face it, Liverpool were on the beach. Liverpool not so much.
What I mean is that
compared to how they could play, they were on the beach. It's just Spurs were on the beach and they're not as good a side, and therefore we tonked them even harder.
Yeah.
But having said that, you can only play, you know, what's put in front of you. What I really liked about the end of the Liverpool game is that the whole thing of Hinshelwood and Howell coming on together. As much as they say, oh, and 75 seconds later he scored, because there was a whole load of other substitutions going on, it was actually only 21 seconds between the game restarting and him scoring. And the other thing about it was because there was two of them at the back post to kick it in, I actually thought, and I'm not sure if it was Howell's debut, I could be wrong.
It was.
Was that, you know, I thought it was actually him that scored rather than Hinshelwood there. And I'm thinking, wow, that is an introduction to a kiddie who, you know, at the moment of talking, clearly has the potential for a really good career.
Yeah.
And here's been, like, one of the frustrating things about this season is, like, you know, given the lack of options we've got going up front now, certainly now Simas has been injured, but also Howell's been injured.
He's back, so, I think, playing again.
He's now getting back into it, but he's recovering from an injury. And it's like, even like the fourth reserve guy has got blimmin' injured.
Well, if you look at some of the players that have been on the bench.
Can we not catch a break here? It's like, this is like ridiculous.
Okay. Well, Dr. Pafab has now been fired.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was ultimately the season ended there. It was our second highest ever finish.
Yeah.
It just felt a little bit flat after not qualifying from Europe, and eventually what happened in
Wembley. It's interesting. Sorry, can I just also say it's interesting you say April cost us the possibly cost us Europe. My attitude to it is actually the entire season cost us Europe, because it's not like, oh, you know, it's the last game of the season, you've sent us down. Well, actually, the previous 37 games might have something to do with it as well. So I wouldn't necessarily blame that.
No, I do buy that. But I mean,
don't you?
That, I do buy that, but that month was particularly bad. I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to talk, if you want to go like that, you go back earlier, which is, we're not talking about 2024 today.
No, but I know your point, yeah.
But it's, you know, that game at Leicester where we dropped two goals in the 86th minute, game against Wolves, we dropped two goals in the 86th minute. Those are the games where you need to be.
Well, that's
but then you look at, yeah, but then you look at the games where we won in the 86th minute or the 85th minute. It swings and roundabouts. It's like, it is what it is. You know, you are where you are. It's like on merit. It's like, you know, the results you accrue during the season. So, yeah, there will be some games where you feel you've let it go, but there will be other games where you've snatched it.
I mean, if you're talking about the sliding doors moment, then if we hadn't lost 7-0 to Forest and actually beaten them 1-0, we'd have actually been in Europe because we'd have, you know, the goal difference and the points difference. But, you know, that's, do you know what? That's the nature of football.
Swings and roundabouts then. Okay, but, let's move on to June and July then so we can wrap through this now. So, we said goodbye to João Pedro, Julio Arcisa, Tarik Lamptey and Purvis Estupiñán. We said hello to João Lampos Costulas, Seth Simas, again, hello, welcome back. Diego Coppola, Maxim de Kuyper and Olivier Boscali, not forgetting Tommy Watson, of course, who joined after scoring the winning goal to get Sunderland into the Premier League. Very sad. I'm still a bit sad about Purvis going, and obviously Tarik, not so the other two, strangely.
I think we are weakened by the outgoings. I think the players that left, certainly with João Pedro, maybe Purvis, certainly with João Pedro, definitely a very good player that we don't have a replacement quality. Quality-wise, we haven't replaced him for now. I think maybe in the future we might have replaced him, but right now we haven't. Purvis, I just think it was never the same after the injury. I was less about that.
Purvis at his best was basically unplayable, but him at his best wasn't often enough.
I think it wasn't so much about the players that were leaving that upset me. It's really the oven readiness of the players that we brought in. I think we brought in some very good prospects, and I'm very excited about Babis. I'm very excited about Simas. I think they're going to be good players. They were just not ready to be good players right now. And that's not their fault, and I'm not going to have a go at them. That is the club's strategy. It's like, we are in the futures market. We're not buying shares to sell now. We're making long term investments.
Okay, well, let's move on to August then. And we began the season snatching a draw from the jaws of victory at home to Fulham before being very polite housewarming guests at Everton. Oxford were swept aside 6-0 in the League Cup before beating Man City 2-1 at the Amex.
Well, now, that is the Albion in a nutshell.
Quadruple substitution.
Luckily, I wasn't here for the Fulham game. I was at Bloodstock, and we blew that game. Everton, I was at, and we blew that game. Oxford, sadly, I was not at because I didn't have enough holiday to go. And that was tremendous. I really wish I'd got to that. And then we beat Man City, as per usual, at home. And that was fantastic. So there you go. Welcome to supporting Brighton of Albion, people. In a nutshell.
Never let it be underestimated the power of substitutions and wisely using the 16 players that you're going to use. I mean, a common criticism that comes back is that either, you know, the starting 11, well, if this is the starting 11, well, how come the finishing 11 is always better? And it's not about that. Sometimes the starting 11 isn't the right one, and you could then choose X for Y, A for B, whatever it might be. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't always work that way. And it's an intelligent use of the 16 players. Now, the weird thing is that for that quadruple substitution, which changed the game immediately, was that they were all like for like. And yet all they did was two things happened. One, there was an immediate burst of energy, and that includes James Milner coming on. There was an immediate burst of energy, but also I cannot help feeling that City completely collapsed. And this is very un-City-like. If they'd have actually just carried on playing their game, you know, I won't say it wouldn't have happened, but, you know, by those last 20 minutes, we absolutely battered them. And it was brilliant to watch. And when the winning goal went in, 89th
minute.
Yeah, and thank you, Gruder, for finally getting it trundling over the line. But hey, it went in, so let's not complain too much. It was fantastic, but it's about squad management.
The other thing about that Man City game was a stat that nobody really realised afterwards. But when we got that penalty and James Milner stepped up to take it, everyone thought, "Oh, bloody hell." And then it turns out that he's got the second best penalty record ever in the Premier League.
Why were you concerned about Milner taking a penalty?
Because I didn't realise he had the second best penalty record in the Premier League.
One of Liverpool's best ever penalty takers. So.
Yeah. The Fulham game, incidentally, I did manage to watch it convalescing. So it didn't actually make me feel better. You know, I'd been in hospital for the previous 18 days. And when I came out and saw the Albion blew it in such a ridiculous fashion.
90th minute.
Well, beyond that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got messages through from various people whilst I was at Bloodstock. Beautiful Days. I was at Beautiful Days.
Having said that, I don't think we've blown it. And I could be wrong, and I'm sure that we're good for the rest of the year. I don't think we've blown it in the last minute this season after that.
We should have won that game.
I agree.
I'm not even sure
it's a penalty, to be honest, that they got in the end.
Okay, well, let's move on to September then. And September had a little bit of everything as we lost at Bournemouth. We drew at home to Spurs, swept Barnsley aside 6-0, before beating Chelsea at the Bridge.
Let's talk about winning at Stamford Bridge, because that was fun.
Yes, it was.
Diego scoring 4 goals, all howitzers pretty much.
The Barnsley game was fun to watch on TV. Again, another one that I was, lacking in holiday to go to. So couldn't quite manage that. But
I think the Spurs game was a late equaliser as well.
I really don't want to talk about Spurs games.
It was a Van Hecker own goal in the 82nd minute.
But the Chelsea game was a hoot.
That was fun.
And again, one of the big six sides get a player sent off and they park the bus and they go to pieces, just the way that Arsenal did last year when
We tore them apart. 3-1 was absolutely a fair reflection of that.
Absolutely.
We were absolutely brilliant. The Chelsea fans were absolutely sick as dogs on the way out. To be honest,
when they win.
For this particular game, we did Imperial Wharf. We did Imperial Wharf before the game, and we went back there afterwards, and it was quite funny, like chatting to various Chelsea fans afterwards.
What was their take?
To be honest, they were fine with us. They were more critical of their own side, which I think is correct. But they were actually all right. They were annoyed that they lost, but they saw why they did lose. But I really liked the way that, going back to like the Arsenal game, the first half of the Arsenal game, I thought we played with fear. I didn't think we played with fear in that Chelsea game.
And
that's why we won it. And I think that's frustrating. It's like Chelsea have better players than us, like Arsenal have better players than us, but in that game, they had the sending off and then we just switched on and took full advantage of it. And it was absolutely superb. And like really good attitude from the players. They showed
all of this, of course, is absolutely rubbish, Andy, because the only reason we won is because we were yet wearing the yellow kit. Anyway, moving.
Also, the big takeaway from this season is like, I do not want to see that lilac kit ever again. Get rid, burn it, burn them all.
Can I just point out it was also open season on Minte's head?
Yes, it was. There should
be. That was a penalty. Yeah.
Okay, let's just route through this then, because we're nearly up to December. So October then, the spooky month began with us gifting Wolves one of their only 2 points this season.
50% of their points is to us.
Yes.
Who's the other one then? Terrible. Who else did they get a point from?
Spurs.
Yeah. Good company.
Newcastle were beaten 2-1 at the Amex. Yes. Babis got his first Albion goal and the defeat at Old Trafford before we bowed out of the League Cup. at Arsenal. Not really an awful lot to get into there, really. It was just...
All I'd say, that Arsenal game, the first half against Arsenal, I thought we were really good, apart from the finishing, which was obviously a very important aspect to the game. And also, Danny Welbeck sort of came of age and everyone started talking about him playing for England again, so...
Not in the Arsenal game.
After the Newcastle game, yeah.
Yes, he was excellent in that game. Okay, let's move. I'm not really. We don't want to talk about the United game, but Babis's goal was great.
I thought it was superb.
We scored once, from a corner.
For once, getting across the first defender, because let's face it, there's very few things more irritating about your team taking a corner as being seen defended by the first defender. But he managed to get across that first defender and ghosted it. It was basically the same goal as Ritter scored for Arsenal.
It pretty much was, yeah. Okay, November then. I didn't actually realise this until I was actually writing it, actually. But we went through November undefeated. Leeds were beaten 3-0 at the Amex, nothing happened at Palace. Brentford were beaten 2-1, and there was some sort of redemption at the City Ground.
Good performances. All I've got a feeling I could be wrong here. I think Hertzler was nominated for Manager of the Month as well.
That explains December then.
there's some decent performances there. You know, certainly Forrest, the first 20 minutes, again, terrible finishing, but some of the passing, you can see sometimes, one of the things I'm going to say about Hertzler this season is sometimes when we are going forward, there's the criticism of being too slow, but there's other times they're playing it a bit too manically. But against Forrest, there was a couple of moves where some of the first-time passing was absolutely electric.
Forrest was great. Forrest was a good game. I never felt in any doubt that we were going to win it. Once we were one up, we absolutely nailed that game. It was there was just a really good vibe around the whole place. And Forrest, I think because they didn't have Chris Wood playing, I think that helped us.
Didn't Gibb White go off early as well?
That was a really good game. I thought the Palace game was...
We didn't lose. I mean, that's the end of it. We didn't lose.
To be honest, it had 0-0 written all over it. It was not a great game. It was, thankfully, an incident-free day. So getting home was actually not a pain in the arse either. So
that was true.
What was the first game of the month?
The first one was November. We beat Leeds 3-0.
Yeah. And we beat Leeds. And that was really good because we played a poor team and we won. This season, we kind of do need to do that. We're not a particularly good team this season. We're an okay team. We're fine. And actually, given how Leeds have played since that defeat, I think that 3-0 win looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, they've been decent. And now Calvert-Lewin's been talked about as going to the World Cup.
He scored like 7 games in a row.
Yeah, so 6 games in a row. Yeah.
6 games in a row. It's ridiculous.
But yeah. Okay, well, let's just round off the year then. And the festive month saw us being very giving as Villa went home with the points. West Ham went home with 1. Liverpool's points were gift-wrapped. Apparently, we played Sunderland, which brings us to last Saturday's defeat to Arsenal. Insert your own narrative about what happens at West Ham, but I suspect it might include the words doctor and Brighton.
Well, yeah, I mean, very disappointing.
We didn't lose,
but no, and we scraped out the draw. We possibly could have done better. Hopefully, we'll do better this week. But we played a poor team and made them actually look quite good. I thought that was probably one of West Ham's better games of the season, and we managed to scrape a draw out of it. The Villa game was weird.
Looking back on that one now, it actually seems that a little bit better. I mean, particularly Villa have gone off on this amazing run.
Yeah, and it does look better in retrospect, but still,
chance that Danny Welbeck had in the last minute, which would have made it 4-4, that goes in. The narrative completely changes.
Are we talking about a brilliant save again, that one?
Oh, no, it was a brilliant save. Yes, it was a brilliant save.
Yes, it was a header that was slightly behind him, and he managed to get it on target, and the keeper tipped it away.
Yeah, because it was the guy that was deputising for Martinez, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But even like the Liverpool game, we had chances in that game to get something out of that game. Some of the game, like, terrible first half, but we were dominant second half. Yeah. And to be honest, we had the chances to win that game. It's like December was like a missed opportunity month, and like I don't know what it is about this time of year. It's either like November or December where we just refuse to accumulate any points.
Yeah, it's because we're a summer city and don't like the cold.
Okay, well, I've got some there's some stats and how many different goal scorers have we had this year?
This year,
2025. How many different goal scorers?
16.
I'm going to say, given it's 14 this year, I'm going to say 21.
Oh, close, close.
Go on.
23. Okay.
Wow.
Well, there's some from last season as well, because, like I say,
Yeah,
it's
there's
14
23.
this year.
That does include own goals as well.
Oh.
Oh.
So, how many are
Mr.
Brighton
Oggy.
players?
Well, obviously, out of that, 22.
Who's the own goal then?
There's two own goals. I can't. I didn't write
Well,
down who the two were,
one
but
was in the Villa game, wasn't it?
I think one. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the other one.
Yeah. But yeah. No. So I'll go through rattle through. So we've scored 83 goals this
As
year, this
many as
calendar year.
that?
Yep.
Well, and who would have thought? Because we're absolutely terrible and rubbish and like
Yeah.
unwatchable at the
Four,
moment.
mind you, to be fair, 12 were in two League Cup games.
Yeah, and 45 of them were last season.
So that makes 38 this half of the season.
Yeah. Do you have a guess at how many we've conceded this year?
So we've scored 83. I'm going to guess 75.
No, lower than that.
Oh, I was going to say 75 as well. So
Oh, of
now I'm
course,
going to
we've
go
again we've got two
67.
6-0 wins here, haven't we, to make it look much better.
67.
No, only 60 goals in all competitions.
Wow.
Yeah.
And seven were in one game.
33 of them were last year.
And who would think that? Because we've got like the worst manager of all time and we're
Evidently.
terrible.
Yeah.
So
So I'm pretty sure you can guess who's the scoriest of them all.
it must be Danny.
Yeah, only just though.
Ahead of João?
João only got six.
How many's Danny on?
Danny is on 12 for the year.
Okay, so only if you're saying only just.
So who's second? Did you what you said Mitoma?
Yeah.
Really?
Mitoma scored 10 this calendar year.
Oh,
Of course.
excellent. Well, let's hope he resumes normal
But
service tomorrow night.
behind
He's starting
Mitoma
tomorrow.
is Gomez with 9.
Yeah,
This is all
Gomez, I
games, isn't
absolutely
it?
do
But that
buy.
four of those were in one game.
Gomez is one of those players. He's just like, you don't entirely know what he does, but he's always there and
Yeah.
thereabouts.
But then what we call the Dale Stevens syndrome.
Yeah, he's the hustle and bustle guy.
But
And like his finish against Arsenal, absolutely superb. There's like, there's no way that was not going in. That was a really, really good
yeah,
finish.
that was
And okay,
innity
good
in.
loss.
So I mean, it's not been a dreadful year.
Well, listen,
It's
again, we've got our second highest finish. I mean, like I say, the grief and the upset about it is more to do with the level of expectation, which I
yeah.
think is growing a little faster than the growth of the club is. I mean,
Yes.
we've had that European thing. Palace are in Europe now, so we're sort of, getting green with envy. And, we're not clearly not there yet. And to blame one person and one person alone makes absolutely zero sense. Everything that the club does is a collective. Everyone has the responsibility. Everyone is part of the machine. Everyone, makes their contribution. To blame one person alone is
It
counterintuitive.
doesn't make him above criticism, though.
No, everyone's open for criticism, absolutely. And that includes Uncle Tony, absolutely. But to put the whole lot on one person, ridiculous.
Completely agree with you, Al. I just think we are where we are. I think a lot of like the sort of looking back to De Zerbi, things like De Zerbi just had better players.
Yes.
I mean, the players that he had are genuine world, absolutely blooming world-class players. We've got some quite good players, but then they're just not quite good enough at the moment. They may well transpire. They may well turn out to be good players, really good players. But right now, they are what they are. And like,
Well.
and I think there's a limit to what Hertzler can do with them. I think there's a couple of tweaks here and there that
Yeah,
you could ask him to do.
and we've got one more game before the window opens. And I think we will go shopping this January, which I know Tony doesn't like to do, but I think there will be some sort of reinforcements coming in, particularly in the forward areas where we have been.
One wonders there.
I would say, like, in the forward area, just simply because we are reduced to the number of one, like, it's only Welbeck. The club has to get somebody in. I'm not saying we have to buy, like, a world-class striker. We just have to buy someone that, like, is functional. And that could be getting Ferguson back.
Well, I was going to say that Evan Ferguson guy, he used to be quite good. Can we get him?
Yeah, well, you know, that could be. To be honest, if Ferguson was playing against Sunderland, we'd have won that game.
Yeah.
Because he'd have finished those IRE chances.
Sure.
But, sorry,
can I just point out then, if you're going to say Ferguson could come back, is there anyone else that along the same line? Now, I know it's along the lines that Roma were umming and ahhing about cutting short his loan, but is there anyone else out on loan who could come back and who is ready?
No, because I mean they're all on season long loan. So
but what I mean is that if there's an insistence that we cut short a loan, I'm just throwing that one out there. To be honest, I don't know the answer.
I don't think there is, Al, and I think Ferguson is the obvious one to go for, even though he's not like in the form of his life. But actually, I think if Mittimer is back, then like his limitations are reduced, because basically you just need someone in the middle to like get on the end of like one of these balls that are coming in from Minter or Mittimer. And that's exactly what he does. He's a goal hanger. He's a, you know, he plays on the edge of the box and he can finish from there. He's very good. But I think in terms of like being able to buy another forward, it's going to be difficult. Because
well, we
like,
bought two last summer or two last year, didn't we? And you think, well, how many more are we going to buy?
So, but they have to do something. They have to give Welbeck some help, because like Danny's been absolutely fantastic for us. He is an absolute legend, but the guy is the age he is, and we've been really fortunate that he's been able to play about 18 months without any injuries, and now he's suffering a little bit. We can't rely
just,
on him.
Just a couple of knocks here and there, but
he's going to have to miss some games. So, and like it really hurt us on, particularly in the first half on Saturday, like against Arsenal. You know, you could really see that the fact that there was no focal point up front. That was a limiting factor for us.
I mean, there was movement, but there were they were playing 10 yards too far back, and there was no one was making any runs. So there was no one moving to make space for anybody. It was just frustrating. Really.
Well, it's exactly like Hertzler said. He said, we played without confidence, but they didn't believe in themselves. And then at halftime, he instilled a little bit more belief in them, and we were better in the second half.
See, that is where a good manager actually comes into his own. You can have all the tactics and training, and that's where the rest of the coaching staff, you know, that's where they earn their corn. Obviously, it comes down, the edict comes down from the manager, but the real place where the manager earns their place is being the Svengali, the father, the parish priest, the teacher, the whatever it is he needs to be, and turning, like say, in this instance, lack of confidence into something a bit more confident, which you've got to do in the space of about 7 minutes. That's where, and not just Hertzler, where any manager earns their keep by doing those kinds of things.
Okay, well, that was the year that was. But with that, that is all we have time for. So we will see you all next year. Thank you so much to Alan Ware. Thank you to Andy Bass. I've been AD Packham. This has been the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast, and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all again next year.
Yeah.